We're going to read God's Word now. We have stopped our journey through Acts 13 and 14 that we were doing since summer holidays. So this is just a standalone service sermon. And we're going to be looking at a parable that Jesus told in the book of Luke. So it's Luke chapter 14. I'm going to be reading from verse 12. And just the background to this is that Jesus, after church, after synagogue, is invited to go over to someone's for lunch. And he goes over to this Pharisee, a prominent Pharisee. That means, you know, he was quite an important person, religious person. And Jesus goes over, and first of all, he heals someone. And then he tells everyone to stop squabbling over they were all trying to fight with each other to try and get the best seat in the house so that they would look really important. So he tells them, that's a bit silly. You should be humble. And then we pick it up at that point. He's going to say some more, give some more advice to his host and then tell a story. And it's the story that I'll be looking at later with the adults. So from verse 12 of chapter 14. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I've just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" There's Jesus' story, and this is God's word to us today. Thanks be to him. Well, if you're wondering if you should come to church this morning, is it going to be worth it? Well, we are going to consider the most important thing in the world this morning. More important than any other issue in my mind or your mind. And it is a question. How will you respond? How have you responded to God's great invitation? And that's what we're looking at. This great invitation. So we could call this story that Jesus tells the story of the great invitation. We could also, I suppose, call it the parable, the story of the terrible excuses. And I think both these things, knowing clearly what this invitation is, and also being aware of our excuses, is instructive and helpful and important for all of us today. Well, Jesus began telling this story in response to a man at the table, not the host, but a man who overheard Jesus say who you should be inviting. That might change our Sunday lunch invites from now on. Who you should be inviting. Not the person that's going to pay you back, but the person who can't. And this man pipes up with what really is a beatitude. You know, blessed is. Happy is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. And indeed, he's absolutely right. It's true. Happy is the person who's going to eat at that great banquet when God will draw everyone together. Happy indeed. So why did Jesus not just say, indeed, you're absolutely right? Instead, Jesus, verse 16, if you've got your Bibles, Jesus replied to this man. He told this story because of what this man had said. And I wonder if Jesus saw how this man said it, almost like a toast. Blessed is the man who will taste that banquet, as if we're all going to be there, probably in pretty prominent positions. Blessed is the man. And Jesus sees it, and he thinks, I've got to explode that delusion, that false sense of security that has been put out here. As if, well, we're Jewish. We're Pharisees. We're prominent Pharisees. And so we'll be there. We're good moral people. So we will be there. And Jesus wants to push aside any misplaced hope and get to the nub of the issue, which is the issue we need to get to the nub of. How have you responded to God's invitation? It's not about your morals. It's not about your ethnicity. It's about how have you responded to God's great invitation. And so he tells a story, and the story is about a feast, a banquet that a certain man prepares. And the invite goes out. You know, back in those days, a feast, a banquet, that's what people lived for. It was a pretty subsistence, pretty difficult way of life in the Middle East back then. And when someone was throwing a banquet, this was wonderful. There were no movie theaters. There were no restaurants. This was it. This is where the music would be, the dancing, the wonderful food that was free, and the socializing. And if you got an invite, well, you were honored. You were really honored. Like an invite for the royal wedding popping through your door. Everyone's talking about it. Everyone wants to be there. Unmissable. And so he sends out the invites to all the good guys, all the honored guests. He sends out the invite, and we have to assume that they all said yes. A certain man was preparing a banquet and invited many guests. Verse 16. In those days, there were two invites. They said, will you come to my banquet? And people said yes. And then they got on preparing the feast. There was no supermarkets back then. So they had to get the animals, and they had to kill the animals, and they had to prepare the animals, and they had to get spices from merchants, and they had to do all that stuff. It could take days and days. And once it's ready, there goes the second invite. He sends his servant out, verse 17, to tell those who have been invited, come, for now everything is ready. And Jesus, of course, as he's telling this story, is trying to get their focus, trying to help them to think about God's great invitation to an unmissable feast, a banquet of delights that is found through faith in Jesus, faith in Him. And what a lavish, what an amazing feast is offered in the gospel. Mercy. We deserve punishment, and mercy from God is laid on the table. Cleansing from sin. Joy, even through the muck and the mire of life, is laid before us. Hope in the face of death. Hope for all eternity. It's all there in this sumptuous banquet. It's all there in Jesus Christ. Good things, nourishing things. This is the feast that we are invited to. Who would want to miss it? Who would want to try a lame excuse and get out of it? Well, as Jesus goes on to tell in this story, there's plenty of excuses out there, and they're pretty terrible. Now, so far, the Pharisees are listening to Jesus, thinking, yep, this story makes sense. I wonder what's going to happen. And once verse 18 comes, and these excuses start coming out, they realize this is some kind of a joke. You know, this is an Englishman, Irishman, Scotchman thing. This is kind of, what? Where's the punchline? This is absolutely absurd. No one would ever make an excuse to get out of a banquet like this. But there we go. Verse 18. But they all alike began to make excuses. A field, yoke of oxen, married. And these Pharisees would be looking at each other going, that's absurd. These don't even hold water. They're ridiculous. And who would want to excuse themselves from this? In those days, it was totally a breach of courtesy, a breach of social norms to say, yes, I'll come, and then not to come. In fact, in some writings, it was seen as a declaration of war between one family and another if you snubbed an invite to their banquet. These Pharisees are thinking, what is Jesus doing? I mean, the field excuse. Don't you love the field excuse? I bought a field and I have to go and look at it. Where's the field going? It's not going anywhere. He probably looked at it before he bought it, but even so, it's not going to go anywhere. He can go to the feast. Yoke of oxen. How many yoke of oxen? 5 yoke of oxen. That means he's quite a wealthy guy. If he can just buy 5 yoke of oxen. He's like, oh, I need to go plowing. I need to go and try these oxen out. Feast, plowing. Feast, plowing. I mean, it's ridiculous. Of course he's going to go to this feast, but this is his lame excuse. And then, verse 20. I have just got married, so I can't come. Blames his wife. Can you believe it? Blames his wife. He's got married in between accepting the first invite and the guy's coming to say it's all ready. He's got married in between that time, all in a bit of a rush, and he's already blaming his wife. It's like back in the Garden of Eden. I mean, it's absurd. And he probably didn't see the plus one on the invite. Just bring her along. This excuse doesn't hold up at all. I can't come. And the Pharisees will be laughing and laughing at this. Well, the gospel message is God's great invitation to us to come and receive everything we need. Everything we've actually been yearning for all our lives, and more. To have peace with God, peace in our hearts, to trust in Jesus. I can't come, sorry. Sorry, it sounds good, but I can't come. I'm too, what would we say? Busy? Too busy? Life is just so hectic, I can't give any time to this spiritual stuff, to this church stuff, to this Jesus stuff. It sounds good, but I'm terribly busy. C.H. Spurgeon, that great preacher, when he was preaching through this passage, he wanted his hearers to really examine their lives to see if this too busy excuse really stands up. This is a paraphrase, but he said, you know, do you have time to dress? Well, you have time to dress in the righteousness of Christ. Do you have time to eat? Well, you have time to feast on the good things that God will give you for your soul. Do you have time to look at yourself in the mirror and wash your face? Well, you have time to look at your own heart, see its dirt, and wash it in the fountain of Christ's blood. How foolish an excuse it is going to look on that great day when God says, why did you refuse my excuse? I was too busy. I gave you all the time in the world. I gave you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, like every other human in the world. You had all the time in the world. Too busy? No. Well, I can't come. It's just, I'd like to, and I'm going to, it's just not convenient right now to take this seriously, to accept this invite. And it might not be a field that we cite, or some oxen. Maybe it's a house that needs redecorating, and that's just filling up our minds, or it's our job and career and what we need to get to do to get there. Maybe it's just a holiday that's been planned, and really I just need the headspace to do that. But I'll come in time. I'll respond to you and your invitation in time. And the God of the universe is on hold. The God of the universe is left hanging. Not now. Not quite now. It's just not going to be convenient for me. But can there be anything more important than responding to this invitation from our Maker, from our God? If we honestly think there is something more pressing in our lives right now than responding to this, I would say, as respectfully as possible, we have lost our grip on reality. Everything is upside down. It's absolutely foolish. I'm too busy. Not right now. Don't rush me. It's not convenient. No, no, no. That's what we're saying to God. No, no, no. Maybe we'd bring another person in, like the kids bring in their pets and for their excuses. The duck bit me and the dog ate my homework. We'd bring in, like this man did, I got married. We'd bring in someone to make excuses. My friend, my dear friend, she would think I'd lost the plot. My spouse wouldn't be happy if I became a Christian, if I took this seriously. So we will look at all the preparations for this great banquet that God has done, sending his Son to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We would look at all that invitation, all that preparation for it, and say, sorry, I don't know how this person would take it. I think I might upset this person if I was to take you seriously, God. It's ludicrous. And Jesus, he doesn't want us to delude ourselves with these excuses. The thing is, it's not just an invitation we're talking about to come one day to a great feast in heaven. It's not just what it's about. It's not just about come and have joy and peace and love everlasting. It's come to me, Jesus is saying. It's come to a person, to the Son of God. J.C. Ryle said that Christ is the sum and the substance of the great feast. Remember he said, I am the bread of life. Remember he said, come all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Come. Come to me, Christ says to you, to all this morning. Make this, if you haven't before, make this the day of days, the day when you accept his invitation. When you discover the reason you were born, which is to come and to know the one who made you. Maybe it is that, well, you're really not interested. And I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes when we're thinking about the things of God and the invitation God gives us to this wonderful, joyous delights in Christ, and I'm thinking, yes, but I wish he would do this for me. What is it? What's on your mind? What's on your mind? What's the big thing in your life today? I wish he would heal that broken relationship. I wish he would heal my physical problem. I wish he would give me financial security. And this has taken up your whole horizon so that his invitation to come to him and to have, you know, the hope of eternity, it pales in significance to this big thing. Well, these things that we desire might be good, so good, and God would never reject those cries from our heart for these things. But how we respond to his invite, that's the most important thing today. And there are so many ways that we can excuse ourselves and refuse. But they're all bad. They're all bad excuses. And then we see this open invitation. In the story that Jesus tells, he is angry when he discovers that all those who said they'd come haven't come. And so he tells his servant to go out into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Interestingly, the same description that he gives to the host just a few moments before. But in the story, the master sends him out to come, to go and get the poor and the crippled, the blind and the lame, the down and outs, the downtrodden, the weak, the hurting, those whose society has rejected, but God's building a new society where they are welcome. They are called into the very center of things. And they come. They come in the story, they come to the banquet. And in a spiritual sense, we all have to see our desperate condition before we'll respond to the invite. We all have to put ourselves in that column, the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame, in a spiritual sense, to see our moral poverty. We've broken his law. to see our sin-damaged personality. Never are our motives pure. See our desperate need of him. And then we are willing, we are eager to respond to his invitation. One of those Beatitudes from the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." See, those who are poor see their need. They're blessed because they're ready to come. If we don't see our need, we think we're going to be all right. We think we'll make it in our own kind of moral fortitude, and we're not going to take the freebies from God. Leave that to the broken people. I'll earn my way to heaven. I'll figure it out myself. But all we're doing is excluding ourselves, ignoring his invitation, and losing out on reconciliation with God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. If we come hungering and thirsting, he gives us the bread of life. He gives us the water that will mean we'll never be thirsty in our hearts again. And he always keeps his promises. Sounds terrifying to give it all to him, to say, I need you, but he always keeps our promises, his promises. He will satisfy us with good things. But there's still more room in this story. There's still more room. Verse 22, it's all been done, but there's still more room. Then the master told his servant, "Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full." See the generosity of the master. He could have easily said, "That's it. I'm done with these ungrateful people. The banquet's off." But he sends out to the city, and then he sends out to the whole countryside. He flings the doors open, and all are on the invite list now. Those who are far, far away, those who didn't know anything about the banquet, who have never heard about this invite or even this person, suddenly they are receiving an invitation. Well, the Pharisees listening to this story would have stopped laughing by this point, because they would have realized that they were the honored people who were rejecting the invitation of Jesus to come and know God through him. They would realize the joke was on them. They were the people that didn't think they needed God. The down and outs, they were coming to Christ in faith. The, if you can call them this, the up and outs, they were excluding themselves. "I don't want to know. I don't need Jesus." And this story is a wonderful picture, if you've clocked it already maybe, of the Great Commission. What Jesus said to his disciples. You see what happened? The elite, the honored guests, the elite of the Jews, they rejected Jesus. But many Jews did come to faith, like as if they're the ones in the city that were invited. The chosen people, and many of them did come, the disciples and many more. But then the Gentiles. See how the story isn't finished here. It's go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full, dot, dot, dot. He doesn't finish the story and say, and then they all came in. No, still going. It's still going even to this day. Go out and make disciples of all nations, Jesus said to his disciples. Give them the great invitation. They are welcome at the feast. So the messed up, broken, down and out, spiritually poor people came. I need you. They were hungering and thirsting, and they were given food They were given sustenance. They were given renewed vigor, purpose in life, and sent out. The guests became the hosts with an invite. Servants going out saying, come, come into this great feast of faith. And that is still happening in our world today. Just looking at some statistics yesterday, astonishing. Do you know the Church of Christ is growing amazingly? If birth rates, if births are not taken into account, then Christianity is by far and away the fastest growing religion in the world. And we in the West are going, what's happening? And it is exploding around the world as people hear the invitation, maybe for the first time, and respond to it and accept it. The church in Africa has increased 51% in the last 15 years. From 9 million 100 years ago to 540 million today. Sudan, where there's desperate persecution of the church, that's increased tenfold in the last 40 years. China, as David alluded to recently, just after the Second World War, there was about 1 million, then that terrible communist persecution. Now there's 100 million or more. South Korea in 1984 had 30,000 churches. Today, 60,000 churches. It's astonishing. And 19 of the top 20 countries where there are these conversions, the highest conversion rate, is in Africa and Asia. 19 of the top 20 countries. And 11 of those top 20 countries are Muslim countries. And you think if some of these countries weren't so harsh on forcing people to acknowledge Islam as their religion, how many more would respond to this invitation, the invitation of free grace from God? But we should not be disheartened, because even in Europe, as traditional Christianity dies away and the big cathedrals are left empty, so the evangelical churches, they're churches that say, this is the invitation. Jesus has died for your sin. Believe in him and be saved. Those churches that are holding out that invitation, they are growing. Three new evangelical churches open in France every month. 12 in Spain. 12 every month. Evangelical churches are growing. This is people going out with the invitation and people responding to it. That is what's happening in our world this very day. We should be encouraged. We shouldn't be surprised. It's the most incredible invitation ever. Just because we're distracted and deluded that we're all okay in the West doesn't mean that the rest of the world is blinded. No, they see it for what it is. They see it as the great lifeline of the world. They see, it's not about deserving. It's not about trying to earn my place. Like all this other stuff people have been telling me all my life. It's about believing in Jesus. And he has done it all. Well, all those who made the excuses, verse 24, the last verse, I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. They excluded themselves. And so if we reject his invitation, we will be excluded. We will have excluded ourselves. As someone has said, the world is like a sinking ship, and Christ invites you to come on board the lifeboat. Will you refuse? Will you come? Will you see the folly of your excuses and see that this is urgent? Today is the day of salvation. You've received the message, because I'm a messenger sent by the master of the banquet, to hold out the invitation to each one of us. And it's the most important thing in the world. How have you responded to it? And if you've responded already to this great invitation, if you've come to Christ and known, just tasted some of the glories of this feast, the hope and peace and pardon that Jesus brings, will you keep it to yourself? Will we hide it? No. We want to go out to our family and to our friends and neighborhoods and world with this great invitation. They're all invited. Give the invitation and then pray. Pray that they receive it and know the joy of coming to Christ in faith. Let us pray. Lord God, it sounds too good to be true. Sometimes we marvel that you would do all this preparation, that your son would go to the cross, that you would work in your church in such miraculous ways for thousands of years, just so that we, on the 14th of October 2018, could hear again the invitation to come and receive life, to know the benefits, the goodness of being around your table. Lord God, by your grace, would each one of us accept your invitation and then come to your Son in faith and send us out, we pray, Father God, with this invitation to others, those who may not have heard or may not have realized they're on the invite list. Help us by your Spirit, we pray. Amen.